Accession number 30646, Mr. Alan Campbell, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Campbell?
I was born in 1933, the 29th of June, in 108 Glengore Road.
Where's that?
Which was 200 yards away from here.
So on the Isle of Dogs?
Yeah.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background?
My father was actually ill in 1937. He had to give up work, which was the start of his illness. I remember him coming home from hospital now and again.
Tell us a bit about him. What did he do for
He'd been away to sea up until 1926, I think it was. And that's when he had to give up work as going away to sea, which is that photo there. He worked in the docks as a rigger. And then in 1937, as I say, he had to give up work. And he actually died in 1940, January.
Now, how well off were the family? Tell us a bit about the family.
Imagine, my mother had I had two brothers. Well, I had brothers at work. The elder brother, Charlie, was married. Then after that, my eldest sister was married. Then there was another brother, James, or Jim, Beatty. Jim was working. Beatty was just about coming up to start work. My brothers, Donald, Alex, Ronnie, and I were evacuated.
Hang on, tell me a bit. What was the area like you lived in? Tell us a bit about your family growing up before the war.
Yeah, quite rough because we used to have the barges. They were like water gypsies, used to come through from the dock, and everybody had to take cover because the children were like pirates. True. And I can remember playing in the streets with my elder brothers and sister, but it was quite hard, as you can imagine.
What was your house like? What were you living? Was that a flat?
We were living in a here what they call an area house.
What's one of them? Explain it, because they don't. Well,
you had ground pavement level, which you went down to the lower level, and then from the pavement level you went up to the middle level, and then you had two rooms upstairs. You had a backyard. The toilet was out in the backyard. We didn't have kitchenettes in those days. We had sculleries with a tin bath and a wringer. And
a wringer, a mangle thing.
Yeah, a mangle. And my eldest brother, he was not my eldest brother, Donald, was the one that he used to try and bring up. Poultry, chickens, rabbits, to help out. But after 1940...
Hang on, that's really ahead. Now, what about your mother? Did she work, or was she busy enough keeping that, trying to look after you?
She was running our house and going to the hospital to see my dad.
Now, he died in...
1940.
1940. So you were six then,
weren't
you? So,
and it was quite hard.
Now, tell me about the app. You were only five or six when the war started.
Yeah.
What impact did the war make on you? I mean, were you evacuated straight away? Do you remember the day war broke out?
Well, I remember being evacuated from here at Glengore Road School.
Now, what happened? Tell us about the evacuation.
Well, that was the last time I saw my dad because he'd been in the hospital, and we was actually sitting on the bus to go away. And I said to my next elder brother, Ronnie, his dad down there, and he but he was in the crowd. He'd walked from the hospital to get to see us before we got away. And we went. That was the last time we see him. And while we were away, he died.
Died while you were away. How many of you were evacuated?
Four of us.
Four of you.
That was me and three brothers.
And what did you take with you?
Oh, all we were given was, we didn't have too many clothes. It was a little rope knapsack with a label on, with our names on.
And where were you going to?
We actually went to Longhambra in Oxford.
Longhambra?
Yeah.
And what happened when you got there? This was in September 1940, was it?
Yeah, 1939.
Sorry, that's my fault.
Yeah. No, that's
What happened when you got to Longhambra?
Well, we was debussed by the school mistress, Miss Appleby, and other teachers, and we were put in a church hall, and then people came along and singled out who they could take and who they would take. I went with the oldest of the three brothers, which was Donald. Ronnie and Alec went to another billet, and that was it.
And what was your billet like?
Well, she could be a bit of a tartar.
What sort of a house was it?
It was a little thatched cottage, actually. But when we went to bed of a night time, we could actually see London alight. The glow of London.
Come back. So, tell me about the billet there. How did she treat you?
Oh. I was made to do things like... I was given meat to eat, which was partly gristle, and I was being bilious, and I just couldn't eat it. But my brother, because he was 12 years old, he could help her out collecting wood in the woods and things like that.
How did she treat? Was she kindly most of the time, or just sometimes bad-tempered, or was she pretty down on you all the time?
Well, I would say she could be a wee bit down on us. Like we was always getting, well, I was getting threatened with a thrashing, things like that. But... Donald, or Freddie as we called it, he was the apple of her eye. And, of course, like, you know, but then when my father died and my mother came down and see what was going on down there, she brought us home.
So you were just in with the brother. Was there anybody else, or was it just a woman? I mean, was she married?
No, she was a widow with a daughter. Mrs. Margit.
And how did you get on with her?
Who? The
daughter.
Well, she was one of these. To me, she was like a... She didn't speak to us a lot. She used to wear her hair in plaits. And that was it. She was quite a bit older than us.
Now, what about schooling? Did you have to go to school?
We went to a little village school, which actually belonged to the church, which was about a couple of hundred yards up the road. We was actually walking towards Bladen then, which was where Blanning Palace was and Churchill was born. And then after a while...
How did you do at school?
I was the prize idiot.
In what way? You mean you played the fool, or you were, you know?
I played the fool and I was the fool. Anything I could get out of doing, I would do.
How is that? Just not bothered?
I wasn't bothered, no. It's And then, as I say,
hang on. How did you get on with the local kids?
Well, we was always being blamed for everything. Where they used to torment the cows and the horses and things like that. I used to love to watch the blacksmith. When he was shoeing the horses, I thought that was marvellous. And the smell of it, like when they put the hot shoes on.
You were saying about how you got on with the local kids.
Yeah, well, they was there was only one fella, Bobby Kempton, who sort of lucked in with us because his relation had come from, they were like costermongers, who'd come from London. So he sort of mucked in with us and geared us along and got us along. And one other fella that lived up towards Church Amber, Reggie Pritchard. But that was about it.
So the rest didn't?
No.
And you got the blame for things, you said. What do you mean?
Oh, anything went wrong, it was always them Cockney boys, or them Cockney kids.
What did you think of the countryside? I mean, you were Isle of Dogs, it's a bit... What did you think of the countryside?
It was beautiful. We saw our first heavy snow there. Got to ride on a sled downhill, not uphill, obviously. But there was what we call Millwood End, there was a woods down the end. Farmer Walker, who used to do the blacksmith, he had wheat fields. So to see all that happening for a boy from the East End of London, dock area, it was a totally different way of life, except for the locals.
So you like the country and the...
Oh, I love the country. I still do.
Now, anything else happened? Because you were there quite a while, if you were there when the bombing started, because that's September 40.
It started, and then we came home.
Now, tell me about coming home. Anything else happened while you were there before your mum got you home?
Well... my mum came down. We were supposed to be dressed in black because of my father. And Mrs. Margaret didn't go along with that. So when my mother came down, parents used to visit of a Sunday. You'd get a coach from here and go to the country to visit the children. And then there was different things went on that I didn't know about between my mother and our landlady. And finally, we was brought home, which was about towards the end of 1940.
So December, winter?
Yeah. And then every night we used to have to go down the shore.
Hang on. So you came back to your old house in the Isle of Dogs?
Then? Yeah.
Now, so how was your mother managing without your dad to pay you?
Very hard. I don't know how she did it, but she was managing very hard. Because in those days you didn't get help, she ended up working as a cook for a while in a pub. And she would do all sorts of odd jobs to sort of get something to put a bit of food on the table.
Were the older brothers helping?
They was beginning to sort of help. As we was going along, we was having to learn to sort of help. Because I can remember myself, we used to try and help out with Nelson's, which was the local dairy. On the milk round.
Tell me about that. Did you do that?
I helped out on the milk round.
What do you remember about that?
Deliver it. I used to like to ride the pony because they had a horse and cart. And to me, to get on the horse's back was brilliant. Everything else could go by.
Would you actually help him or are you just having a ride?
I think I was more having a ride, worried about having a ride. But then I used to help out with the prices. the local bred people, and then if I'm not going too quickly.
No, so let's go back a bit then. So when you got back, did you go? Which school did you go into?
Leadgall Road School.
Back to your old school.
Yeah. No, I actually went to Cubitt Town School, which is round there, but it's all been renamed, you see, and I get mixed up now.
So how were you doing there? Any better, or were you still?
Well, passable, I suppose. The only thing I was hated doing was maths.
Why didn't you like that?
Because I was made that. I was with a classroom of 40s, and I did not understand a particular question. And as I asked the, I was made to stand up in the class. And the headmistress, Miss Ricketts, she came in. I think it was, what is a fraction? And of course, like, she's made me stand up in front of the class. My face is like that, which it always goes like that.
Red.
Those situations.
Red. Orangey red.
And, because the Mickey taking that was done, right, I thought myself, well, never no more would I ask a reason why about arithmetic or sums. And because, like, the local child acting off the schoolmates or classroom mates, the rest of the things, history, geography, drawing, composition, dictation, was all right. But sums always ever let me down.
Now, what about rationing, food or clothing?
Oh,
rationing?
Golly.
Tell us about that.
Well, I got to wear a lot of hand-me-downs. Having three brothers in front of me, obviously I couldn't wear what Donald wore, but Alec and Ronnie, I suppose I was passable. Very threadbare. And with me, it didn't take a long to go through, like, you know. So I'd end up with the backside out of my pants, or knee scraped, socks torn, boots worn, toe caps gone.
Now, what about food? Food rationing? Did that
very
affect you?
Very tight. Very, very tight.
How did it affect you? Or did your mum conceal it from you a bit?
No, she never concealed it. A loaf of bread, or when she was cutting a loaf of bread. This is what we still laugh about today. I've only got one brother left out of the family. But Donald used to stand here, and as my mother was cutting, we'd all be watching for the slice of bread, and he would claim the crumbs. And God help you if your hand got underneath his hand when he went after those crumbs. We used to call it a broken fingers job. But that's how it was. And it was always a reason to sort of go out. With prices, as with the bakers, after we were bombed out.
No, hang on. So we'll come back. Now, tell me about the effect. Did you have an air raid shelter?
Yes. Oh, yes.
In the house, or where was it?
No, it was in the yard.
Tell me about. Was it a Morrison, or what was it?
Anderson.
Anderson. Sorry, Morrison's the indoor.
Morrison's was the stone one.
Tell us about the.
I remember
the Anderson.
Well, we had the Morrison. You used to have to go out the back door, past the toilet, and alongside the toilet was about that much room.
About a yard.
The yard. And the entrance, you used to have to step down into the Anderson.
And what was it like in there?
Oh, always damp. Very, what do you call it, you know, with the moisture on the metal and all the rest of it.
Condensation.
Condensation. just shows you how old. I'm forgetting to say condensation now, but that's that. We had a shelf. Bubba tried to make it a bit homely because there was a bar across the back, which held part of the escape hatch. So on that shelf used to be a jug of water, which my brother managed to do, a clock, I forget, there was bits and pieces like.
Did you have any furniture or bunks in there, or was it just bare?
No, we didn't have bunks. Big. Sort of had to make up palliasses. There was a sump on the floor, it was concrete flooring. So you had to make the best of that. We didn't have bunks fitted. Some of them who managed to do it, they had bunks fitted. Like you could go down the bunk, you'd have the bottom bunk about that high off the ground.
6 inches.
6 inches. Then you'd have one about 2 foot above that. You didn't have a lot of room because of it being sunk and partly oval. And then, with the different things that was moving, people were moving away. and we had a young chap staying with us. His family was up the road. But brother Donald, he decided the next door neighbours, there was two bombed out houses next door to us. So what he did, he knocked the dividing yard wall down so that you had the two Anderson shelters together. And he built a porchway and all the rest of it. So Donald, Freddie Baker, Alec, sometimes Ronnie, would be in that shelter. I would be in the other shelter with my two sisters and a nephew. My mother, and that was how it was.
Now, what was it like during the bombing? What do you remember of the bombing? God. What was it like? Because people, I mean, I know you were only 6 or 7, but
we also had cousins that stayed with us, and of course, you could hear the whistle of the bombs and the crump and the buildings going down around us.
Were you scared?
Pardon?
Were you scared?
That's to say the least. That's to say the least. And because all that was all flattened down here by landmines. And because, like, we had our cousin, Kitty, stay with us, and her two brothers, Vicky and Albert. And, here's another one. Poor bang, shut up, like, you know. You was bad enough without her keep saying that. At the back of us was a sort of open yard that ran. It belonged to the George pub. Did you see that pub there?
On East Ferry Road?
Yeah. There was a barrier yard from our backyard. Then they had this barrier ground, which was like a long garden, run right back to the houses. Now this side of that, with J.G. Smith's. Now, they used to do the tarpaulins for the shipping and the barges. That meant they was hanging them up and they was treating them with white spirits and tar and all the rest of it. Consequently, when that was set alight by incendiaries, they used to come and take them out of our house. Run us across the road under dustbin lids. True, this is my life, I will not tell you. Run us across the road and put us in empty Anderson shelters the other side of the road. But the other side of the road was where the gun battery was, the artillery, what we called the mud chute. So, like, with the guns going off, we would get in, the air raid warning would go, we would get in the shelter, then we'd be waiting We gave all the guns names, which one was going to fire first. There was a huge, great, well, I'll say huge, great, it was to us. It was a naval gun, it was a 4.7. It stuck right up on a hill. And that used to have a crack, and when they used to go, those houses just like being an earth tremor. Because you'd have falling plaster and all the rest of it. And that was it. And
now, what was the effect of the raids? I mean, how much damage locally and how much damage to your house?
Yeah, quite a bit of damage. We was blasted. We were set alight twice.
Well, the house?
Yeah. By incendiaries. And
so how much damage was done?
Quite a bit of extensive damage, because we used to have the local repair people come in and pull the ceilings down and put up asbestos and paint over the top of it in all the rooms, most of the rooms. It ended up, there was the pub on the corner, there was two derelict houses, there was our house, there was people next door, Mr. and Mrs. Tollings. Then there was other derelict houses. People got fed up and moved away. So out of a complete row of houses, 1, 2, 3, 4, I think we ended up with about 5 left in the row. And those what was vacant was absolutely shattered and things like that. And at the finish, all across here had been flattened by land, what they call landmines.
What were they like when they were? They're bigger, aren't they?
Well, they used to come down on parachutes. Some of them used to explode in the air, but that was the principle. That they'd done a lot of devastation, a lot of damage. So then the rockets started coming over, which was the V1s.
Hang on, I'll just come to the talking still about the bombing. I mean, yeah. What was it like when you went out on the street after a raid?
Oh, my God.
I mean, how much damage?
There was piles of bricks in the road and furniture hanging through the windows and things like that. From Glengall Road, that used to be a crossroads down there. So from there, all the way up to the top of the turn in there, which is Glengall Road, was quite badly damaged. And, of course, like, you'd have the ships that was in the dock, which was just up here. They would open up, because they only had stern guns mounted on the after end of the ship. Very rarely was a forward gun, but they would have like machine mounted Lewis guns and them all making a continuous racket while it was all going on. All around was just one huge great big glare, pink glare, red glare, whatever you like to call it, until it died down. Then we had the fire service, which is stationed in the school. We had the local ARP, which was at the back of the library. Then they built a first aid post. And where all these houses was derelict down here, over here, in Galbraith Street, they put these huge, great big water tanks to help the fire service. Of course, you can imagine, we weren't allowed to go in the river, but we used to swim in the tanks.